20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Before we get started today, let me just take umbrage with something really quick. This is not the dead period of the NFL. No. This is where the true of the true shine when it comes to all things Green Bay Packers, where we get to discuss some of the best and nerdiest things. The other day we went through the 13 Packers that you probably either haven't heard of or thought about or spent much time, you know, getting to know. Today we're going to break down two corners that I think have a real opportunity to make the 53-man roster today. These are the fun, nerdy episodes. These are the ones I live for. These are some of the ones that you really dig a little bit deeper for, and I gain a larger appreciation for the team and just how everything is built and all of it because of these sort of episodes. So no, there is no dead period. And by the way, even if there was, it's definitely much closer to that end of June to training camp period than it is right now. We've got OTAs coming up in a couple of days. I'm going to be at a practice on Wednesday. So we are not in a dead period. This is a very fun period to be a Green Bay Packers fan, as it is 365 days a year, which is why we do this 365 days a year. As always, thanks so much for being here. Really excited about today's episode. No news or notes to get into. Full disclosure, I am recording this on Friday, so this is going to air on Sunday. And if anything has happened either late on Friday or all day Saturday, that's why I'm not talking about it here today. We'll catch up on it at some point. My guess is it's going to be, hopefully, knock on wood, a pretty slow weekend and not much to talk about from a news and notes standpoint. But it does allow us to get right into our topic today, which is breaking down two corners that, as things stand right now, have a real chance to make the 53-man roster. And if somehow Jaire Alexander does end up off the Packers, even a better chance to make the roster. As things stand right now, if Jaire stays, you've got Jaire, Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine. Bullard will, of course, pop down and play some nickel as well. But you've got four true corners that are all set to make the team if, in fact, Jaire is still here. Then you probably keep six. You could potentially keep five with the fact that you have Bullard on the team, but you probably keep six. And that leaves three players in all likelihood, Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, and Micah Robinson, as is right now, for that number five and that number six corner spot. Kalen King was a seventh rounder. Micah Robinson was a seventh rounder, both by Green Bay. Kamal Haddon, interestingly enough, was the sixth rounder of the group, but he was not taken by Green Bay. How you want to differentiate those is up to you. What it's truly going to come down to is who the best players on the field are. Taking it a step further, if you end up with Jaire not on the team and you go Valentine, Hobbs, and Nixon as your three, you potentially have three spots available. Which, again, you know, maybe Jonathan Baldwin's able to get in that conversation or one of the other corners, but you could end up with Micah Robinson, Kalen King, and Kamal Haddon all making the 2025 Packers initial 53-man roster. Either way, Kalen King and Kamal Haddon should have a very large say on making this cornerback room this year. Even if it's just for one spot, even if Micah Robinson is one of those, there's a really good chance that one of these players makes a 53 and a real legitimate chance that both of them could, and or it could come down to these two for just one spot, which again makes today's episode even more intriguing. And I'll spoil a little bit here. These are two very different corners, and I mean incredibly different corners. So you might like one more than the other. Just know they are not the same type of player. This could come down to the eye of the beholder. And what I'll talk about at the end when I wrap this all up is, what this will probably come down to in a very large way is which one of these players can get a crash course in special teams as quickly as possible and really become a really good special teams player. That would definitely differentiate them if they could actually go and do that. Let's start by breaking down Kalen King. 5'11", 190, cornerback initially out of Penn State when they drafted him a year ago. He's 22 years old. He will turn 23 next January. He is still incredibly young. There are multiple corners that were drafted in this draft class that are well older than Kalen King at 22 right now. And it's not like he turns 23 tomorrow. It's in January that he turns 23. So he is still ridiculously young. at a 6.68 relative athletic score coming out of college, did not do the bench press or the three cone, tested 62nd percentile in height, 61st percentile in weight, 76th percentile in vertical jump, 64th percentile broad jump, 35th percentile in the 40-yard dash with a 76th percentile short shuttle, had 30 7/8-inch arms and 80 3/4-inch hands. That's the athleticism profile. In his career in college, had 82 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 3 interceptions, 25 pass breakups, 1 fumble recovery, and 2 forced fumbles. Played 843 coverage snaps in college, was targeted 152 times, gave up 73 receptions, 1,074 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and had 7 penalties in college. In 2023, he gave up a passer rating of 86.7, and his coverage grade per PFF was 44.5, which 60 is average, 44.5 is bad. In 2022, the year before that, gave up a passer rating of 49.4 and had a coverage grade of 90.6. In 2022, had a coverage grade of 90.6 that went down to 44.5 in 2023. It just took a complete nosedive and fell off a cliff from 2022 to 2023. In 2021, PFF gave him a 66.4 grade on 279 snaps. In 2022, had his breakout year with an 89.0 grade on 557 snaps. And then in 2023, had a 60.3 grade, his worst of his college career, with 481 snaps, again, in his final year at Penn State. In college, he played 222 special team snaps and graded above every year. He got better year over year by PFF. However, he had 109 kick coverage snaps only and 0 punt coverage snaps. So he did some work as a kickoff specialist, but didn't do anything as a gunner on punt returns or on punt coverage, I should say. So not a ton of special teams experience, but a little bit with 222 career special team snaps. All right, his positives. This was my breakdown from him when I went over his tape a year ago. I did just redo some of his tape and I watched his preseason tape from this past year as well. Positives were his 2022 tape. His 2022 tape was phenomenal. Went up with play against players like Jaden Reed and completely held his own. He was fantastic. Coverage was great. He was sticky. There was probably a little bit of fool's gold there. It wasn't, I don't think, entirely legitimate, but every single time he was challenged, he was coming up with play after play after play, breaking up passes, and was just consistently good in coverage. Per the 33rd team, he was also fantastic in press man coverage. When targeted 28 times, he only gave up 9 completions for 153 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 9 pass breakups in 2022. Even in 2023, in his down year when he was in press man coverage, he was 7 of 17 when targeted 100 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, and 1 pass breakup, which means he had in 2 seasons, 16 of 45 when targeted in press man with no touchdowns allowed, 2 interceptions and 10 pass breakups. I mean, was just phenomenal in press man coverage. And in man coverage overall in 2022 and 2023 combined, only allowed 33.3% of his passes to be completed for 239 yards, 2 interceptions and 11 pass breakups. He was, by all accounts, fantastic in man coverage, both in 2022 and 2023. He was tenacious and unafraid as a tackler, consistently rallied to the football. He was able to read wide receivers' eyes and their hands, knowing when they were going to get the ball and able to break things up at the last minute. Had solid transitions in press coverage, was able to get his head turned consistently to the ball and break up plays. Also showed great versatility, played left corner, right corner, slot corner. And there is still talk, and there was talk at the time, that potentially he could move to safety as well. That has not taken place in Green Bay or at Penn State, but there is some thought that maybe down the road, he could also play some safety. Has very good overall balance, is a good blitzer off the edge, has a very good demeanor. Again, wants to play well. You can tell it out on the field. He has some special teams experience and potential. He's what I would consider a good scheme fit within Jeff Hafley's defense. Now, the man-to-man coverage is something that didn't come to fruition, right? They ended up playing a lot more zone this past year, which is not the strength of his game, but he's going to have to become a zone cover corner in the pros because he doesn't have the long speed. And I don't think a man-to-man coverage game is going to treat him quite as well in the NFL. And here's the thing. He's got versatility. He's got multiple positions he can try, whether it be the slot, outside corner, or maybe even at safety. Last year, he was kind of pigeonholed as a slot corner only. They didn't do much with him as an outside corner, just a little bit. Now it sounds like per Derek Ansley, when we heard from him last week, he is going to be somebody that plays outside and inside, which should open up some more versatility for Kalen King moving forward. Now, of course, there were some negatives as well. Did not have the long speed or the recovery speed. That showed up on tape numerous times, especially in 2023. Receivers with strong release games at the line of scrimmage when he was playing man did definitely give him trouble. He will get too grabby from time to time. Choppy feet. He will get, instead of, again, being able to kind of play the receiver, have good footwork, consistent footwork, get his hips turned and run with the corner, he'll get a little bit choppy, both at the top of the route and when he's in press man-to-man coverage. He's got to clean up his footwork a little bit. Way too many missed tackles. He needs to do a better job of understanding route concepts. That was from a college standpoint. We didn't get to see much of him in preseason or in the pros to see if that's something that's coming along. But from a college standpoint, needed to do a much better job with that. Marvin Harrison Jr. ate his lunch, spit it in his face, and made fun of him afterwards. He dominated Kalen King in that matchup. And it was really sort of kind of the beginning of the end for Kalen King in 2023, which was just the start of his draft stock completely falling in that season. And the truth is, his 2023 tape was just not the same. Needed to do a much better job of staying under control, and he lacks any one ideal trait. He's not super fast. He's not super agile. He's not super tall. He's not super strong. While he played really good man coverage in college, he doesn't really transition. The expectation is not that he's going to transition well into being a man cover corner in the NFL. Zone was definitely not his forte in college. He's going to have to transition into his own corner. So there's not any one thing that you can point to and be like, Kalen King is great at this. And especially with that 2023 tape, which was nowhere near what he looked like in 2022. We'll be right back. Some thoughts that I had at like last year when they drafted him. He's still very young. The 2022 tape was legitimate enough where it gives you hope. It gives you proof of concept. He played press man well in every season in college. I do think he can transition to a zone corner in Jeff Hafley's scheme. What you want to do sometimes is go based on what they can become or some of those flashes. If he can just be what he was in 2022, you will have a very good corner on your hands. I loved the late round flyer last year. I understand why he went later, why he was a seventh round guy. I don't think he was ever going to be a third or fourth round pick, but that 2022 version of Kalen King was probably going to be a third or fourth rounder. I know there were some people saying first round. Don't think that was ever going to be the case once the testing came out and he did all this stuff. Never got quite to that level, but probably was going to be a third or fourth rounder in 2022. And I love Green Bay taking a flyer on him last year. But it's worth remembering they did release him. All right. If this was somebody that they had a ton of faith in last year, even as a progression candidate, they don't let him hit waivers. They're going to make sure that they keep him in Green Bay. Now, they were lucky to be able to, or I guess just they took the calculated gamble that they were able to keep him in Green Bay. And maybe that was part of the equation, but it is worth noting they don't release a ton of their draft picks. They were comfortable releasing Kalen King. And just like the quarterback Michael Pratt, they released him. Like, he could have gone somewhere else like Michael Pratt did. Thankfully, Kalen King stayed and he's still in hand and you still have an opportunity to make something out of him. But Green Bay felt enough where if some team claimed him, they weren't going to lose sleep over it. They were comfortable releasing him a season ago. Now, in last year's tape from his time in Green Bay in preseason, he had 26 preseason special team snaps, had a 65.9 grade on those special team snaps for PFF. He was called up and active for week 14, but did not play any defense or special team snaps in that week. His tackling in preseason was very hit and miss, and he did struggle in coverage at the NFL level, which is probably why Green Bay was willing to let him go and try to develop him on the practice squad. The 2025 outlook, we've already heard high praise from Derek Ansley. He said, either knock on wood or didn't want, hold his breath or whatever, but he was very happy and pleased with where Kalen King has been at in his progression this offseason. Cornerbacks are extremely volatile. you can have some ebbs and flows at corner. And the hope is that Green Bay can find a way for Kalen King to get back to that 2022 version. If he's going to get there, he needs to add some play strength. He needs to play with confidence. And I think he needs to understand this defense a little bit better to know exactly where he is, what he's doing, so he can just play faster and not think as much. You could tell he had some of that rookie, just kind of bright eyes going through the motions and just trying to understand everything. That's going to happen. That's going to come. Hopefully he's a little bit more versed in the defense and as a second year player. There's a lot to like there still. I really think that. I will say this. I think you will hear a lot of people a lot of times talk very highly of Kalen King. Like Green Bay found this unbelievable diamond in the rough, and he's just a, you know, seventh round pick from a year ago that's waiting to burst on the scene at any moment. And Green Bay has this hidden gem that nobody knows about. I would pump the brakes. I think your best case scenario for Kalen King is like your number five corner making the 53, continuing to show signs of progress, and probably still really not getting a much chance on defense and hopefully taking a step as a special teams player. I don't think that there is some sort of like, oh my goodness, they found this unbelievable corner and you're not going to believe, like, he's back to 2022 and they found their next Sam Shields or something. I really don't see that. I think there's true legitimate limitations to his game, but I think there's something there. And I do think he can be a 53 man rosterable player, which is not nothing. It's not nothing. And if he can be that Corey Ballantyne, that is kind of your back of the roster guy that can give you some special teams and play in a pinch and not hurt you, that has value. But I think it's much closer to that side of things, like Corey Ballantyne, play in a pinch, be okay, not hurt you, be solid, play some teams, than he is to any sort of Sam Shields or real, true, legitimate breakout candidate. So if you're thinking, hey, there's something like unbelievable there, I would just pump the brakes a little bit. Let's take one step at a time. Let's see if he can make this 53-man roster first. Let's talk about Kamal Haddon. Somebody that, you know, anytime the Packers pick up a player, you know, like late in the process or, you know, whatever, mid-season, there's so much going on that I don't really get the opportunity to go back and watch their college tape and things like that. So this was a really fun exercise for me. I'd already watched Kalen King. I got to go back and rewatch him, but this was my first real inundation into who Kamal Haddon is as a corner. I didn't scout him coming out of college a year ago. He was expected to be a very late pick if drafted at all. And so I just never got that far to be able to watch those guys. And of course, Green Bay didn't take him, and I never had the opportunity to watch him midseason. So this was a very fun process for me. 6'1", 192 pounds, second year player now, was drafted by Kansas City out of Tennessee, was a sixth round pick by Kansas City just last year. He was released during cutdowns, signed to Green Bay on their practice squad on August 30th, and was elevated last year in week nine. It is slightly worth noting that despite the fact that they had Kalen King on the practice squad through the entirety of the year, and they drafted Kalen King in the seventh round, and he was on the team from the moment of the draft all throughout, and Kamal Haddon did not get to Green Bay until August 30th, when they needed a corner in week four, they called up Kamal Haddon and not Kalen King. Then in week nine, when they needed to call somebody up, they called up Kamal Haddon and not Kalen King. Now later in week 14, they called up Kalen King and not Kamal Haddon. So take that for what it's worth, but just noteworthy nonetheless that the first two call-ups were Kamal Haddon and not Kalen King. From an athletic profile standpoint, 7.48 RAS, did not do the bench press, 90th percentile height, 66th percentile weight, 49th percentile on the vert, 64th percentile on the broad jump, 48th percentile on the 40-yard dash with a 4.57 40, but was 92nd percentile on the 10-yard split. So some quick step acceleration, but the long speed is what struggles for Kamal Haddon. 45th percentile in the short shuttle, 36th percentile in the three cone, 30.875 inch arms, and 8.5 inch hands. In his career in college, had 87 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 6 interceptions, 1 touchdown, 12 pass breakups, and 2 forced fumbles. In his time in college, had 689 coverage snaps, 113 targets, 52 catches, 640 yards, 4 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, but did have 11 penalties in those 689 coverage snaps. In 2023, a fairly ridiculous line in coverage. Only had 184 coverage snaps, had some injuries. We'll talk about that. So it spanned not a ton. Like, it's a fairly small sample size, but still 184 coverage snaps is not nothing. He was targeted 36 times, only gave up 12 receptions in those 36 targets, a 33.3% completion percentage, excuse me, for 96 yards. This is how excited I am about it. I can't even get it out of my mouth. 96 yards, zero touchdowns, three interceptions, only two penalties, a passer rating. Check this. A passer rating in 2023 when targeted of 7.6. You would have a ridiculously higher passer rating if you snapped the ball and chucked it into the dirt than you would if targeting Kamal Haddon, like by a fairly ridiculous margin. 7.6 passer rating when targeted in 2023. 96 yards, no touchdowns, three picks, and only two penalties. Also had a 90.4 coverage grade that year from PFF. That's about as good as it gets. In 2021, had a 60.4 grade from PFF on 261 snaps. In 2022, a 62.5 grade on 559 snaps. And in 2023, a 85.7 grade on 311 snaps. He had 92 career special team snaps at Tennessee, but 57 of those were on the field goal block team. He only had four career punt or kick coverage snaps, four in his entire time at Tennessee. So barely played on coverage units in college. This last year in Kansas City, played 22 preseason snaps, had a 53.8 grade from a defensive standpoint, was targeted one time, gave up one completion for 22 yards. He played 28 special team snaps, including preseason and seven in the regular season for Green Bay, had a 44.0 grade on those 28 special team snaps. We'll be right back. This was Lance Zierlein's scouting report on Kamal Haddon coming out of college. A big cover corner with the athletic talent and skill set to employ in a variety of coverages. Haddon has the feet and strength to redirect routes from press, but can be a little tight in his transitions when trying to simply mirror and match the release. He anticipates route breaks with timing and steams into breakup throws. The ball skills are fine, but there can be too much panic and grab once he falls behind because of his subpar deep speed. Haddon has good size and ball skills and improved his coverage squeeze in 2023. He has the length to annoy receivers from press and can sit back and read routes from zone, but he may need to be protected by scheme due to a lack of speed. Now, when I went back and watched him, these were my notes, and I just did this. All right, so this was not from last year. Again, I did not study him last year. This is my college notes on him and some very minimal preseason snaps from him. And these were my both positives and negatives for Kamal Haddon. The length is noticeable right away. He's got great size, and he looks like one of those legitimate, like, Seattle Seahawks Legion of Boom corners on the outside, where it's just length for days, good arm length, and just good luck if he gets you pinned to the sideline. There's just nowhere to throw the ball in those situations. He's got good physicality, and when he does get you across the sideline and pins you to those, he knows how to use the sideline to his advantage, and there's just no room to complete the pass. Like, he's got his eyes on you. He's pinning you to the sideline. You throw it left, it's going to go, or wherever it is, he's going to throw out of bounds, and then he's just covering everything else. He's got you in like this Bermuda Triangle, and there's just nowhere to go with the ball. It's really, really difficult when he gets you in that situation. He's a true outside corner. He can play left or right side. I do think he fits that outside zone corner very, very well in Jeff Hafley's scheme. He's got great vision and understanding of route concepts in zone. He generally has a good feel for how much contact he can get away with. Does get a little bit grabby at times, but this is one of those corners that when you see in the playoffs and that are going against Green Bay, you're like, why is he not getting called for that stuff? But everything gets a little bit more physical. He's got that great feel for like what, now he didn't in 2022. He got a lot of penalties in 2022, but he cleaned it up in 2023. And I did feel like he kind of knew what he could get away with and what he couldn't, and he used that to his advantage. He's a willing run defender, even if a little bit inconsistent. He attacks those outside screens. So if you're going to run those outside bubble screens, he's going to come flying in and try to break them up. And he's a deceptive blitzer. He does not have any tell, and he will come off of the edge as an outside corner, and you're not going to see it coming. All of a sudden, he's going to be in your lap. So does a very good job of disguising those. His negatives, the biggest one is speed. He doesn't have deep speed. He doesn't have open field speed, and he doesn't have makeup speed. If somebody gets by him, he's not catching up. Doesn't matter how long his arms are. Doesn't matter anything else. He is not catching up to that play. The speed is definitely an issue. He has to do a better job of getting his head turned more consistently. There are plenty of plays on tape where he does get his head turned and it looks awesome, but there are some where he doesn't. And he gets away with it actually a decent amount by using that length and just getting those arms up. He reads the wide receiver's eyes well and their hands well, and he does get involved in getting in the passing lane, but he needs to do a better job of getting his head turned more consistently. He needs to do a better job of wrapping up. He's a willing tackler. If he just would wrap up more, he's going to get so many more players to the ground. Too many guys just bounced off of him, or he just whiffed on because he wasn't using his hands along with it. Enough chicken winging. He's got to find a way to wrap up a little bit better. Trevor Etienne, the Florida running back, absolutely embarrassed him in the open field. Etienne came across. Now, Haddon did a good job of meeting him and getting involved in the play, and Haddon tried to just put his shoulder down and knock him off course. And Etienne did the same thing at the same time. Haddon stumbles. Etienne doesn't even budge. And then Haddon tries to catch up with him and then basically just like face plants in the open field. He just does not have the speed to catch up to that. When he gets the opportunity to make the tackle, he better make it, because if he doesn't, the player's just going to run away from him. And that's exactly what Trevor Etienne did. He lacks versatility. He's an outside zone corner only. Don't think you want him a ton in man-to-man. You don't want him in the slot. He has no safety versatility. He is a true outside zone corner. He missed a bunch of 2023 and the end of 2023 with a shoulder injury, missed four games in 2022 with a hamstring injury, and six games in 2021 with an undisclosed injury. So he has missed a ton of time every single year due to injuries, doesn't have the greatest change of direction, and has extremely minimal special teams experience. Now, overall, I like this tape. I'm really intrigued what Haddon can look like in Jeff Hafley's defense, especially with a year under his belt. I was pretty stunned that KC gave up on him after just 22 preseason snaps as a sixth round pick. Drafted him in the sixth round, felt good about him, played him 22 snaps in preseason and said, see you later. Now, I don't know what the scenario was with why he didn't go back on their practice squad. I don't know if KC just said, no, we're good. We just made the mistake. We're moving on. Or if Haddon said, screw you guys, you spent a sixth round pick on me and then played me 22 snaps and then cut me and now I'm going somewhere else. I'm not sure if that was mutual. I don't know if that was KC. I don't know if that was Haddon, but it is noteworthy. The same thing with like Michael Pratt in Green Bay, right? We don't know when they spent a seventh round pick on him. It looked like he had some potential upside. We don't know if Green Bay was the one that's like, no, we just want nothing to do with him. Good luck somewhere else. They didn't want him back, or if they wanted him back and, you know, Pratt said, screw you guys. I'm going to go play wherever I want to play. And he went to Tampa Bay. So it's tough to glean those things and know for sure. But it is interesting that KC gave up on him so quickly. And I was pretty surprised by that, because the tape in college was pretty intriguing. And to then pick him in the sixth round and give up so quick, I don't know if there was something more to the story there, but it is noteworthy nonetheless. I think the question is going to be, coming out in OTAs, mini camps, and training camp, just how high is he on the depth chart? He's going to have to develop special team skills. He's really not done it. And when he did get the opportunity last year, he did not do it well. If that does not develop, it is going to be very difficult for him, I think, even to make it as the fifth or sixth corner on this team. Now, he's just going to have to be great as a corner to make up for that lack of special teams ability. I do think I lean Haddon over King slightly, but these are two very different corners. A couple other things on Haddon, just really quick here. If you do use him on defense, like if he gets in games in the NFL, I think you're going to need to be cognizant of who he's covering. I think in most situations, he's going to be fine. But if you get some receivers who have great releases off the line of scrimmage and are really great route runners, your Justin Jeffersons, Jordan Addisons, I think he's going to struggle more. You might need to keep a safety over the top. And again, he doesn't have that deep speed to stick with some of those guys. So if you get a faster guy like a Tyreek Hill or something, that could be a major problem as well. So you're going to have to be cognizant of who he's playing against, and you might need to keep a safety a little bit more over the top on him. But I do think he's a legit rosterable 53-man guy and would not be stunned if he does make it on the 53 this year. But special teams is going to be a huge piece of that. Two totally different corners here. You have a more slot type, kind of man-to-man corner in Kalen King, who's probably making that transition to more of a zone corner. A little bit on the smaller side, a little bit more agile, but not as physical. Kamal Haddon, a big outside zone corner who has a physicality, who needs to do a better job of wrapping up, but these are two very different types of wide receivers, or sorry, corners. My goodness. It is going to be interesting to see what Green Bay's preference is here. And a lot of it's just going to be dependent on these two players, who plays better, who looks better. Again, special teams is going to go a long way, but does Green Bay have a preference between the two? I think that's going to be really interesting to kind of keep track of. I think Kalen King has more versatility. It will be huge for him if he can show that he can play on the outside and maybe has some safety versatility down the road as well. That could be a huge reason why you stay with Kalen King. But I think Kamal Haddon's just a better cover player and gives you a true outside corner that has value as well. I'll say it one more time. The player here who develops better on special teams is going to have a massive advantage. Like I said, I think I would lean Kamal Haddon slightly over Kalen King, but this is a pick your flavor scenario. And because they're so different, a lot of it's going to be dependent on what Green Bay's better, like what flavor they like more, which one just plays better in preseason and in training camp. And like I said, one more time, more importantly, which one shows up more in special teams. Two interesting corners. I'm excited about both. Really want to see what both of them look like in OTAs, mini camps, and training camp. We'll keep an eye on them in preseason as well and see if one or maybe even both of these corners make it on the 53 and maybe can make a name for themselves in 2025 and beyond. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you as always for joining me. I'll be right back here tomorrow with an all new episode. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, and Pack Attack Cast. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, enjoy your weekend. And go Pack Go.